Well, I would like us to turn back to the passage that we read. And as I said, we are continuing our study today on the fruit of the Spirit. We'll read again at Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We've been working our way through these various elements highlighted by Paul, and today we come to patience. Now, as we've been saying throughout this study, the fruit of the Spirit is outlining the effect and the evidence of having God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in your heart. Fruit is something that reflects what you are on the inside, and it's something that's manifestly visible on the outside. Therefore, as Christians, we should all be characterized by patience. Now, I should probably say at the beginning that you are all very already abundantly patient because your minister often runs over time a little bit, so you're very good at patience already. But it's a good thing for us to study and to learn together, because patience is something that we should constantly be showing and striving to have in our lives. Now, today we're going to start by learning a Greek word. Now, I'm not supposed to do this. They always say never, ever, ever show Greek words in a service. But you are all very clever, so I think you'll be fine. The Greek word that Paul uses is makrothumia. And it's a compound word. It's two words joined together. And it's a fascinating word because it really helps us to understand what lies at the heart of patience. Now, I'm sure many of you recognize the first part, makro. It's a word that we use in English. It's the Greek word for long. And so it expresses the idea of length, of distance, of something maybe being far off. So we'll talk about things like macroeconomics. When you're thinking about a nation's economy as a whole, you would refer to that as macroeconomics. You have the contrast between macro and micro. It's a word that we're fairly familiar. It basically means long. Now, thumia is the Greek word for soul, or for spirit, or for mind. That's the word it's related to. So basically, this word for patience that Paul uses means long-souled. You're long-souled, long-minded. And that is emphasizing the fact that basically what this word means is that patience is the frame of mind that takes a long-term view. When you think of patience, you need to be thinking long-term view. And it's with this in mind that I want us to spend a bit of time thinking together about patience. And we're going to do it in two parts. First of all, we're going to just spend some time thinking about what this teaches us about God. And then we'll spend a little bit of time applying it to ourselves. But in all of this, we have to have this idea clearly in our minds. Patience is to have a long-term way of thinking. When we started the study on the fruit of the Spirit, we reminded ourselves of the fact that the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of God. And all of these things are a reflection of God's character. And so when it tells us that part of the fruit of the Spirit is patience, it's reminding us that patience is one of the many glorious attributes of God. Various verses remind us of that. We read Psalm 103 at the very beginning. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That's a picture of patience. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. Now, at the heart of God's patience is the fact that God takes a long-term view. And this stands in glorious contrast to the world, because our society, our world, life today is incredibly short-term in its thinking. And we know that that is true in so many different areas, whether it's in terms of fashion, what we wear, or in terms of technology, things change so quickly, arts, things that are wonderful one day in terms of music, the most popular band in the world can be nobody in 2 or 3 years' time. And even in the news, our thinking seems to be very, very short term. Not that long ago, our news was dominated by the conflict in Ukraine. And it was dominated by the Greek economy. And yet now, as far as I can tell, these things are hardly mentioned. Although, as far as I know, I don't think the situations have improved much at all. So our world is really, really short-term in its thinking. But God stands in beautiful contrast, because God is a long-term thinker. And if we remember that, it helps us to appreciate just how glorious God is. And this long-term thinking of God is reflected in many of the key doctrines that lie at the heart of the Christian faith. Now, when I use the word doctrine, we're just basically referring to the key teachings that are at the heart of the Bible. And there are many of them. I've selected a few that we can see. These are some of the key doctrines in the Christian faith. Effectual calling, regeneration, adoption, sanctification, union with Christ. That's five fundamentally, vitally important theological doctrines. We're going to look at these in turn, because at the heart of all of these is the fact that God is patient. First of all, let's look at effectual calling. Now, this is where the catechism is very, very helpful. We have the shorter catechism. It's just a list of questions and answers that give us explanations of key questions. A wonderful document written just under 400 years ago, but still incredibly useful. So, question 31 in the shorter catechism is, what is effectual calling? The answer is, you can see it there, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. And so the basic principle behind effectual calling is that God calls us to himself. That's what the message of the gospel is, a call, an invitation. God calls us. And at the heart of that is the fact that God has a long-term view, because he calls us patiently. Because how many of us responded the very first time we heard the gospel? Some people do, but for many of us, we hear the gospel, goes in one ear, out the other. Often we're stubborn, we're reluctant, we procrastinate, we leave it, we think, oh no, and yeah, God's calling me, but I'll leave it for now. And so we can so often receive God's call, and yet we push it away. But thank God that he is patient, because he calls us patiently. And even if you have put it off 1,000 times in your life, God's calling you again. And he says, come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. God is saying, come. And as long as you have breath in your lungs, God will keep on calling you. And so at the heart of effectual calling is the fact that God is patient. The same is true of regeneration, the next doctrine. This is what we mean when we say that you must be born again. The fact that when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's a new birth. Regenerated, reborn, as Jesus said himself, you must be born again. And when we do put our faith in Jesus Christ, we become spiritually alive. Sin leaves us spiritually dead, but Christ reverses that and brings us to life. As Jesus himself, as it says in 1 John 5:1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Now, one of the great things that's been shown to us by this image of birth is the fact that it is the start of a never-ending relationship. Birth is the start of a long, long-term bond between parent and child. Because if you think about it, your mother is your mother forever. Now, Sometimes that relationship might be damaged. Sometimes, well, it will eventually be separated by death. But the connection is permanent. Because I don't know who Winston Churchill's mother was, but whoever Winston Churchill's mother was is still Winston Churchill's mother and always will be. It's a long-term, permanent bond. And that's why, even when families are broken, they can be restored, because there is a permanent bond. And so the doctrine of regeneration is the start of a beautiful, long-term relationship between the believer and God. God's thinking is long-term. And that's highlighted by the next doctrine, adoption. Again, the Catechism helps us here. What is adoption? Adoption is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. When we become a Christian, we don't just simply become saved human beings or repaired human beings. We become the beloved children of God. God is now our Father. And that means that he is totally committed to his children for the long, long term. And that's reflected in how God deals with us, because God patiently teaches us. God lovingly provides for us. God guides us. God protects us. God even disciplines us, like any good parent disciplines their children. And all of that is because of his long-term love for you. If you think about adoption, there is one thing about adoption. It is absolutely permanent. When it comes to adoption, there is no going back. No going back at all. And so when God makes you his child, he says, this is permanent. There is never going to be any going back. You are my child for the long term. God is always thinking in this long-term way. The next doctrine is sanctification. Key part of our faith, this is God's will for you, your sanctification. Again, what is it? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Basically, it's saying God makes us more and more and more like Jesus. And at the heart of that is the fact that God is patient. Because sanctification, by definition, is a long-term process. Day by day by day, God the Holy Spirit is shaping you, shaping me, changing you, changing me, making us more and more like Jesus. And it is a glorious reminder of the fact that God's plans for you are long-term. Because we are so often discouraged by the fact that we make mistakes and that we fail and we muck up and we feel immensely frustrated. Now, the world tends to be ruthless with people who make mistakes. You look at politics, somebody makes a mistake, there's calls for their resignation and their career is over. You look even at football managers, you can be a hero like Claudio Ranieri 1 year, and 9 months later, you're sacked. And even friendships can be ruined by one mistake. Now, as Christians, we make mistakes. I make mistakes. Every one of us does. But thanks be to God that he's patient. He is incredibly patient. And his doctrine of sanctification is a long-term doctrine. And God can and will keep on working in you to make you all that he wants you to be. So, think about how you've mucked up in the past week. Maybe you lost your cool. Maybe you forgot to do something, like I did. As I remember this morning, but I forgot to do something. I have to tell my poor treasurer after church that I forgot to do something. Maybe you got overwhelmed by worry. Maybe you've said something you shouldn't have, or maybe somebody let you down. Maybe something went wrong in the past week. Maybe you've made mistakes in the past week. How does God react to that? What does God think of you this morning when you come in here having mucked up in the past week? Is he here to wrap your knuckles or to scold you or to keep you at arm's length? Of course not. Because he's patient. And God says, I am never giving up on you. Ever. And I am committed to you for the long term. And I am a patient, patient father. And so it's a great reminder that the Christian is never expected to just get on with it. Rather, God is totally committed to working in us, to helping us, to leading us, and to making us all that he wants to be. So at the heart of effectual calling, of regeneration, of sanctification, is God's glorious patience. And it's all really summed up by the final doctrine, union with Christ. This is really the one that sums it all up. As Christians, we are gloriously united to Jesus Christ. This is really the core doctrine of the Christian faith, that by faith we are united to Jesus. As he said himself, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. As Paul constantly reminds us, we are in Christ. And that union between you and Jesus Christ as a Christian is for the long, long term. Listen to what Jesus says in John 17. This is where Jesus is praying to his Father. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. That's to his people, to you. That they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you've sent me and loved them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. That means that when God looks at you as a Christian, he will never, ever be impatient. Because you are united to his Son. You are his very own. God's love towards you is long, long term. And all of this is reminding us of a key biblical word, a wonderful biblical word, and that is the word covenant. At the heart of the Bible is the fact that God deals with us in terms of a covenant relationship. If you look back into the Old Testament, you see God entered a covenant with his people, and the New Testament is the fulfillment of all that in terms of the new covenant mediated by Jesus Christ. That's really what the word testament means. You could just as legitimately call the Bible the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Covenant is at the heart of it. God's relationship with us is a covenant relationship. And if there is one thing true of a covenant relationship, it's long-term. And so at the very core of God's being is the fact that he is patient. And at the very heart of his relationship with us is the fact that he is beautifully, gloriously patient and thinking in the long-term. And how thankful we should be that God is patient. And I really want you, when you think of God, to think and remember the fact that he is patient. Because it's so easy to misunderstand God. And it's so easy to misunderstand our circumstances. When something bad happens to us, we think that God has abandoned us. And yet the Bible is telling us that God is using every single circumstance of our lives to do his patient, loving work in us. And that's why the New Testament tells us that we can even rejoice when we suffer. We can even rejoice when we suffer. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, says Paul in Romans 5, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Do you see what that is saying? It is saying that when something difficult happens in your life as a Christian, God is not abandoning you. God is not neglecting you. In fact, God is pouring his love into you. And we just have to think in the long term in order to see that. And so if we do make mistakes, we may be overwhelmed by a sense of failure. We might think that God is disgusted with us. We might think that God is just fed up and has lost patience with the fact that we make mistakes. But God is always a perfectly patient Father. And he is totally committed to his children. That's why he calls us back to himself. He calls us to repent. He promises to forgive. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so God is telling us all today, he's saying, I am with you for the long term. So patience is an amazing attribute of God, and really it lies at the heart of so much of God's dealings with us. But Galatians 5 is reminding us that if God himself, this patient God, if he dwells in us by his Spirit, then this fruit of patience should manifest itself in our lives. Every single Christian should be characterized by patience. Now, that's something that we should do, but it's something that's not easy to do. Sometimes it's hard to be patient, and some people are less patient than others. And it makes us ask the question, how do we do it? How are we going to show this kind of patience in our lives? Well, the answer is to remember the word we learned at the beginning, to make sure we always have a long-term view. And that applies in many ways. I'm just going to mention three briefly in the last few minutes. First of all, we've touched on this already. We are to be patient in suffering. That's one of the great emphases of the New Testament, that though tribulation comes, we are to be patient. Paul himself, who wrote Galatians, speaks about this in terms of his own experience. We can read 2 Timothy 3:10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. As Christians, we will face trials, but we must always be patient under trial. Now that might be lots of things. It might be an illness, and maybe that's your own experience today. It might be pressure at work, which seems to be true of so many people, when burdens are heavy on you. It might be at home, worries, concerns. Maybe a disappointment, maybe a bereavement. Maybe you, like Paul, are being persecuted. Maybe false accusations are being thrown against you. All of these things are things that Paul and his fellow Christians endured. And these things are hard. They're incredibly hard. But if we have a long-term view, then we can endure. Therefore, in the short term, our trials might bruise us and hurt us and leave us weary. But in the long term, God is sanctifying us. He is refining us, and he is making us more and more like Jesus. As a Christian, how many things in your life is God working for your good? How many things? All things. That's what Romans 8 tells us. All things. And the only way to see that is to think long term. In the short term, our experiences can be frustrating, they can be discouraging, but in the long term, what we experience now can enable us to help and support others in the future. So your struggles today might just be the training ground for helping someone else tomorrow. And in the short term, life can be stressful, it can be sorrowful, it can be lonely, it can be hard. But God is telling us to think of the long term. Because in the long, long term, God is promising us eternal rest and perfect peace. So we are to be patient in suffering. We're also to be patient in sowing. Because as Christians, we are called to sow the seed of the gospel. That's what we are really doing every time we preach the word, every time we do anything as a church, we are sowing the seed. But sowing, by definition, as we were saying to the children, is a process that requires immense patience. When a farmer scatters seed, he has to wait and he has to be patient. And Paul reminds us of that in Galatians 6, as we read earlier. The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Paul is emphasizing the need for patience as a church. And please remember that every single thing you do for God is sowing a seed. Every time you pray for somebody and for their conversion, you are sowing a seed. Every act of kindness you show to your neighbor, you are sowing a seed. Every time we try and reach out as a church, whether it's in youth fellowship or holiday club or Top Tots or Rotary Recovery or whatever else it may be, we are sowing seeds. And every time we meet together to worship and to study God's word, we are sowing seeds, scattering seeds in the ground, scattering seeds. And all we have to be is patient. And at the heart of the gospel work is patience. Because we are sowing a seed that God will bring to fruition in his time. It's a great reminder that numbers in a church don't matter. They don't matter. What matters is this, that we are faithfully sowing the truth of God's word in people's hearts. So we're to be patient in suffering. We're to be patient in sowing. Thirdly, and last of all, and maybe most importantly, we are to be patient with sinners. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul is writing to a church that is not in a healthy condition. He's writing to a church that's gone far wrong. Mistakes have been made and the situation is very distressing. And that's true of other churches that he wrote to as well. The Corinthian church is another very clear example. And yet at the heart of Paul's letter is the fact that he is showing these people that he is committed to them for the long term. And his purpose in writing is not to criticize, it's not to split the church, it's not to judge the church in Galatia, it's to bring them healing. That's why he says in Galatians 6:1, which we read, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And he makes the very same emphasis elsewhere. He says in Ephesians 4, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Same again in Colossians 3, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." And so Paul is reminding us that our relationship to one another must always, always be one of patience. And that means, quite simply, having a long-term view of one another. Because one thing is certain in life, that people will make a mistake, people will bother us, people will maybe even get on our nerves. But in that situation, God is telling us to take a long-term view. Remember that person who's just mucked up or just done something silly or just got on your nerves, that person is a work in progress, just like we are. And we are all learning, we are all growing, and God is sanctifying us all. And Paul reminds us in Colossians 3 that at the heart of that is the fact that we forgive one another. We don't keep a record of wrong. We don't hold grudges. But we patiently, lovingly forgive one another. And it's reminding us of the vital fact that unity and patience go hand in hand. Now that's a really important thing to grasp. The Church of Jesus Christ is to be united. And if it's going to be, it's got to be patient. Theologically, we are one in Jesus Christ, united to one another. Therefore, in real life, we should be like that too. And the only way that will happen is if we are patient with one another. So, if you come across a Christian who thinks differently from you, maybe they've got weird views on something, God says, be patient. You may know people who might get on your nerves. They might push your buttons. They might just be a wee bit not your kind of person. We often talk about personality clash, don't we? I'm not that keen on that phrase because sometimes I think it's an excuse just to be rude to each other. But people will say that, personality clash. God says, you meet somebody who gets on your nerves, be patient. And even if someone hurts us, even if someone offends us, really offends us, really does something horrible to us, God says, be patient. As God's people, we are to bear the fruit of patience. We are committed to each other for the long term. Even if you muck up, we are to be patient. And sometimes, maybe more than anything else, you have to be patient with yourself. Because I don't know about you, I think that for most of us, the biggest source of frustration in our lives is not other people, but ourselves. And we make the same mistakes again and again and again. And we stumble over the same stones again and again and again in our lives. And yet God is telling us that he's patient. And we have to be patient with ourselves. We make a mistake, we repent of it, we acknowledge it, and we press on. We must all be patient with others and with ourselves. And all of that is because of the fact that God is patient. God thinks in the long term. And we are to be patient. We must also think long term. But what if you're not yet a Christian? What if you're maybe uncertain of things? What if you're seeking or uncertain or maybe not that interested in that at all? What if you're just not in the position where you'd say, yeah, I am a Christian? What does God think of you? What does God think of you? Well, I can tell you, he is still patient. And he has not given up. He has not given up. And he is calling you again today. And he has always had a long-term view of you. Maybe you look back and think, I had a chance long ago, but I blew it. I wasted it. I've wandered off now and I'm too far gone. I've mucked up. Not true. Never true. Because God is a long-term thinker. And so it doesn't matter how long you've been wondering or seeking or thinking. It's not a problem to God. It is not a problem to God. Because he's patient. And he thinks in the long term, and all he wants is for you just to come into his arms and trust in him. He's just calling you patiently, lovingly, faithfully calling you. And so the vital question is not really whether God thinks in the long term, because he does. The vital question really for you is, do you have a long-term view of yourself? That's a really important question. Are you thinking about yourself and about your life in the long term. Because one thing true of life in 2017 is that it is unbelievably easy to be short term, to go from day to day and week to week, busy, 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 busy. I can't believe that this time next week is going to be April. Time just goes by, and it's so easy to just be caught up in the busyness of life, and all we're thinking about is one day to the next or one week to the next. But this is where we have to stop and say, when was the last time you thought of yourself in the long term? When did you last think like that? When did you last think about where you are going in the long term? What's going to happen to you long term? What are the things that really matter? Now, these are the questions we've got to grapple with. And as we think of these things, remember the fact that God is patiently, patiently holding out his hand to you and saying, come to me. Come to me. Never forget that God is patient. That means that he'll never turn you away, and it means that you can come to him right now. Let's pray.